Here we go. Can you guys hear me? That's quite loud, eh? Awesome. Guys, what a privilege to actually share this weekend with Liberty Family Church. And if you look around, you can see this is a family church. So I hope you guys, Gabriel, Asher, I hope you guys are listening. I'm going to ask some questions afterwards. All right. But guys, what a privilege to share the word this morning. And we've spent some time already with some of the elders and the leaders, and we've had an amazing time. But to give you a little bit of background on who we are, my name is Erki, obviously, and then married to Lainey. We've been married for 19 years this year. Yeah, but that is, I always say, how to remember your anniversary. Forget it once. Hey, so it happened one day. I promise you, it happened one day where we actually went through the whole day and we got to about 4 o'clock that afternoon and we realized, you know, it's anniversary. But yeah, we've got two beautiful kiddies. Ethan, 15, he's at Michaelas, and Jamie, she's 11 years old. She's here. You just saw her. But guys, yeah, just in my life, over the last 20 years, I've been part of professional rugby. Coached rugby, played rugby, and then at a certain stage in that journey, God called us to ministry. But that was always on our hearts as God pushed us into this journey, and it was a rough one because you don't want to submit to what God wants to do sometimes. Eh? You want to follow your own thing. And we heard it this morning in the prayer meeting. We heard it, the word that came this morning as well. How many times in our lives have we done nothing, if you know what I'm talking about? Because God says, without me, you can do nothing. Many times in our lives, we've done nothing. And we've hit a wall. But I'm here this morning just to share on what, you know, God has placed on my heart for Liberty Family Church. And we've been part of the base church in the West Rand, Krugersdorp, Milders Drift area. We've been part of it for 15 years. We've been part of the leadership there for 10 years, and we've been in full-time capacity for the last 5 years. And God has just done so much in us and through us. And we're a normal family that is passionate about Jesus, and we want to see people being restored into what God's called them and their purposes and their callings. And that's our heart. So, Glenn, Gregan, we want to thank you guys for the privilege of being able to be here, the eldership team. You guys are, I promise you, you guys are in safe hands. That I can promise you. This leadership team is so tight, and they love each other, and they love you guys. So why not do this journey together? Because that's what family is all about, Liberty Family Church. All right. So in preparing for this morning, I really just spent time with God and just asking Him, Lord, what do I share? And it was so quick. God responded so quickly, and He said to me, Herbs, I want you to give them a glimpse of what my heart is all about. Now, we would never, ever fathom the enormity, the sovereignty of God and His love for us, His heart for us. But He says, Herbs, give them a glimpse of what my heart is all about. And immediately, Luke 15 jumped into my spirit. And for us this morning is to just sit around God's word and actually see the Father's heart. And I want to ask you to grab your Bibles, and we're going to turn to Luke 15. And it's a parable that we've all heard so many times before. But it's also called the pearl or the crown of life. Of Jesus' parables. It was referred as the gospel within the gospel. And there's actually no equal to it in all literature. But this is one of the most beautiful pictures of the Father's heart towards us in Luke 15. Now, to give you a little background before we read the scripture together, it's a parable of the lost son. And it falls on the back of two powerful parables as well, the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin. And you'll see at the end of every parable, it says, and heaven rejoices if one sinner repents and turns back to the Father. So it's about something or someone that was lost, but repents and turns back to God. And this parable, there's a rejoicing that happens, but it also describes each and every one of us in our journey and in our walk with God. So my focus this morning is to literally point out the Father's heart to us this morning. So let's read from verse 11. If you don't have your Bible here, you can follow on the board. But let's start reading Luke 15, verse 11. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had." Everybody said, say, all he had. "And he set off for a distant country and there squandered his wealth in wild living. And after he spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country and he began to be in need. So he went in and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I'll set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when the son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, come home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' verse 31, the father said, 'you're always with me and everything I have is yours. But we have to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" So, Father, as we come this morning around your word, Lord, I pray that I will step out of the way. And Holy Spirit, that you will come and minister to us. Lord, I pray that this will not just be information and knowledge, but by your Spirit, Lord, that you'll come and illuminate so that knowledge, Lord, can become revelation. Lord, I pray against any distractions. I pray this morning, Lord, for open hearts and open minds to receive what you've got for us. And I pray, Lord, for your presence in this place. I pray, Lord, that we will incline our ears and hear. Because, Lord, the secret of the kingdom is how you hear and how you apply that. So, Lord, I pray that this will be a different morning. I pray for your word, Lord, to penetrate hearts and minds so that, Lord, we can grow in our faith and see what the Father's heart is all about. Pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Just before I preach, I want to ask Lainey just to bring a word that she got in the prayer meeting this morning of the presence of God. And I trust that as the word comes this morning, that it'll change just your mindset, but also your heart this morning as you receive the word this morning. So would you come with? Can she grab that?
Morning, guys. So we started praying for this meeting a couple of weeks ago already, and the word that I got this morning kind of ties in with what the Lord gave me for this community a while back already. So I want to just bring it out. Just heard, did you guys sense this morning in worship the presence of the Lord was here? There was like a moment where you could just feel the weighty presence of God in this place. And the word that the Lord gave me a couple of weeks ago for Liberty was presence. I just kept getting over and over the word His presence. And I felt that the Lord wants to manifest His presence in this community more and more, in greater and greater measure. The Lord took me to the word in Psalm 16, verse 11. It says, David states, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence." In His presence, there's fullness of joy. "With eternal pleasures at your right hand." In Hebrews 10, it talks about how Jesus opened a way for the Holy of Holies, or into the Holy of Holies. "So therefore, brothers and sisters, let us draw near with confidence into the throne room of grace," that's His presence, "that we may receive mercy and find grace where we need help." So in His presence, there's those three things. There's a fullness of joy, there's mercy, and there's grace. And I felt the Lord say that when His presence manifests, we get a heavenly perspective. We no longer have earthly perspective because He's with us. So our perspective changed from a heavenly perspective, and we need heavenly perspective over our businesses, over our marriages, over our parenting, over every sphere of life. So as He manifests His presence, we're going to get heavenly perspective. Yesterday I turned the TV on. We were just at home for a few minutes, so I thought, okay, let me just unwind. And I put the TV on. There was this program about BBC Earth, I think it is. Beautiful, the most incredible footage of the planet. And it was about this little glowworm, tiny little glowworm, that it glows when it's hungry. So it moves around quite a lot, but it goes brighter and brighter. So the hungrier the worm is, the brighter this light glows, because it wants to attract prey that it can capture in these strings that it's kind of made, sticky strings. And so I felt the Lord say that this community, this body of believers, the hungrier you are for His presence, the brighter the light will glow and the more it will attract people. So I pray that, Father, I pray this morning that your presence will be so manifest in this place, Lord, that the light that shines from this community will be so bright, it'll attract all the people that you're wanting to bring in Somerset West and around, Lord, into this place, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. So, guys, we've just read the story of the prodigal son, and how amazing is it? We've heard this story before. Can I see some hands? You've heard this before, right? Many times. You've heard this. It's been preached. But we want to look at the perspective of the father this morning. And this younger son has asked for his inheritance, for his estate. His journey was incredible, because why? He was so selfish in his ways. There was cultural context to this, because it's actually disrespectful. And I think even in today's terms, it's really disrespectful. If I go to my father, by the way, my mom and dad is here this morning. If I go to my father and ask him for my inheritance before he's even passed away, it's quite disrespectful. So it's a wanting it now, you know, just the persistence, and he's wanting his independence, pushing and pushing and pushing. And there was even implications in this. There was economical implications, because why? The father had to go and sit down and actually get all the books together and actually start doing the sums to divide the property between the two sons. There was social implications. What does that mean? I know what it feels like when my sons left the house. Now there's a big spot, you know. When I walk past his room, I go, I miss my boyki, you know. And this is what the father felt. Imagine what the father felt like. If you can just imagine that, you know, the hurt in his heart. The youngest son's impatience and insistence. But what does the father do? The father complies and he agrees. And he says, my boy, I'll give it to you. It says in Luke 15, verse 13, it says, not long after that, the youngest son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth with wild living. So he spent everything. He squandered everything, and a severe famine hit the land. It says, and he started to be in need. He hired himself out to actually feed pigs. Now, in this parable, it doesn't say that Jesus is actually speaking to Jews, but if we put the connections and all that together, it says that Jesus was sitting in a scene where there were sinners and tax collectors, but there's also Pharisees listening to what he's saying. And they're actually muttering among themselves, and they go, how can this man sit with sinners and tax collectors? So it was actually really a disgrace for people to actually, you know, be in contact with pigs. Why? Because it was seen as an unclean animal. So this boy has really hit rock bottom in his life. Who of you, I don't want to show hands or ask for hands, but who's hit rock bottom in their lives? Promise you, I want to invite you to come on Monday morning and you'll hear my story of hitting rock bottom. I don't know what it looks like in your life. It might be your marriage. It might be your job. Your finances. That's an ugly place to be when you hit rock bottom. But see, this son had to get to the place of repentance. Repentance is such an amazing journey and a hard journey. But it refines us, isn't it? He had to get to the place of repentance. And when you hit rock bottom, the sad part is always that we've got to sometimes in life hit rock bottom first before we go, oh my word, I need to turn to God. Why do we always have to get there first? God wants to help us in that journey of repentance. Now, repentance is actually an interesting word. The Greek, and I don't want to talk too much because I know Philip might correct me on it. Everybody knows Philip. He's a teacher of the word. But the word repentance has got two changes or two actions to it. The first one is metanoia. All right, that means changing your mind. But there's also a changing of action. That's the word epistrepho. So changing your mind, the way that you think about it, but also changing your way and your action. Because it can't just be one of the two. You got to do both. And it's so beautiful in Luke 15, verse 7, you can actually see those two changes happen in the son's life. Because he's sitting in the mug, in the pigsty, and it says in verse 17, when he came to his senses. Can you hear the changing of mind there? When he came to his senses, he realized that my servants, the servants of my father on the farm, is getting better treatment than I do. And what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to go back to my father and I'm going to tell him, Father, I've sinned against you and against heaven. I'm not worthy to be called a son. That's the first part. He came to his senses. But then the second part is in verse 20, it says, he got up and went back to his father. Can you see the action there? The turning around, the going back. That's the action that we're talking about. So Luke 15 verse 20 says, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. Now this father saw him from a long way off. He saw his boy. If the scripture is saying that, that means he was looking out for him every single day. The son, somebody would come down the road and his dad would go, this might be him. This might be him. And it's not him. But this time the father sees him and he runs. Now, if you think in the context of what they were, in where they were, a father, the patriarch, it was actually seen as undignified to run. Believe it or not. Why? Because they had these dresses. And what he had to do is he had to sort of pull it up and then start running and expose his legs. Now, I think it's because the Jews didn't have calves. But I also don't have big calves. So you can ask my friends. They're here this morning. But this father ran to his son. And it's such a beautiful picture of the father's heart. He exposed his legs. The father's heart is a heart of redemption. The father's heart is a heart of redemption. This father disregarded all social rules and his personal dignity. And he expressed his love and his compassion for this boy. And he ran to his boy and he embraced him and he kissed him. Fathers, you're sitting here this morning. I want to encourage you, kiss your boys. Because usually how it happens, what happens? You come to your son and, you know, there's mates around and you go, hi, dad. You're like, you know. I want to encourage you this morning, kiss your boys. There's my father. I still kiss him. And he's 70. How old, dad? I feel all right. 78 years old. I still kiss him to this day. Why? Because he's my father. So I want to encourage you. But this father runs to his son. He embraces him. But what does it look like in worldly standards? In worldly standards, it would look like this. Well, yeah, waar was jy gewees, papi? Kom verby. Kom verby. Kom, champie. But that's what happens. Because there's got to be punishment, yeah. But this father loves him and embraces him and kisses him. See, this father's heart is a heart of compassion and love. And he preempts the shame that the son might face in this community. That's beautiful. He embraces him. See, this parable is written to prodigals like you and me. I want you to hear me this morning. See, the love of the father doesn't point fingers. Doesn't point out the guilty parts. This love chases after us and embraces us. I want to tell you this beautiful testimony, what happened literally a week ago. If we say the father is a father of redemption, listen to this. So Lainey's sister lives in Holland, and she's got a boy that actually came to visit us. And the last time we've seen Logan was at the age of 4. He's now turning 16 this year. So this boy, guess what? As a family, we've been praying for this family in Holland to meet Jesus. And we haven't seen Logan for so many years, and he had the opportunity to come and visit. So he stayed with Oma and Opa in Sabi, and then he came to us for about a week in Joburg. And this happened last week. And God is such an amazing father. How he worked it out. Even my dad and mom have been praying for them. And I know my dad's words were, I pray that God will send someone that will lead them to Jesus. So Logan's with us and he's in the house, in the family, and we're having meals. Yes, he loves eating. He ate us out of the house, I promise you. But he was just involved and part of a family that loves each other. And you could see him taking in everything that's happening in this house. We would sit around a table. We would pray together. We would put Ethan on the bus. He had to go to Michael's house again. And we would stand in this little circle and pray. And he could just experience the love of what family is all about. And Sunday came. And we said to him, "Bud, when you're in the Kruger family, that's one of the things we do. We go to church. So you're coming with." And this guy, this boy has never been in church his life. This is the first time that he goes to church. And how does God plan this? Listen to this. A Dutch boy sits in the front row with us. And who preaches that morning? A guy from Holland. A Dutch preacher preaches that morning. And I'm like blown away. I'm sitting there and I'm going, "Lord," I keep looking over to Logan and I'm going, "Come on." I said, "Lord, you can do this. You can do this." I said, "Bud, you better just listen. Just listen. You know, and I keep looking at him and his eyes are just on this preacher. And I'm like, "Lord, you can do this. Come on." And there's an altar call and Logan stayed in his chair. And I'm going, "Oh," and I'm praying for someone in the front that gave his life to Jesus. And I see Logan gets up and he walks to Lainey and he says, I want to meet the preacher. And I'm going, come on, come on. And as the meeting finishes, Logan walks up and he meets Rick. That's his name, the preacher, Rick. And they started speaking in Dutch. Now, I could understand about 99% of what they're saying, but it was such a beautiful picture. And I always say, talk to a man in a language that he understands and it will go to his head. But talk to a man in his language and it'll go to his heart. And as they're busy talking, Rick started explaining his journey with Jesus. And he was a cocaine dealer in Holland. And God saved his life. He immediately got clean from cocaine and the journey that God has walked with this man. And you could see Logan's eyes are going like this. And after a while, Rick said to him, Do you know Jesus? Can I pray for you? And Logan's eyes going, yeah, I want to meet him, but I don't know how to do that. He says, no, I'll help you. And it was so beautiful how Rick explained this journey of just the salvation journey of how he met Jesus and how you can come to the Lord just the way that you are. You don't have to get everything in line first, get better first, stop drinking first, stop sweating first before Jesus says, well, you can come. And the most beautiful part of all is Rick led Logan to the Lord. And I promise you, there was a rejoicing in our house because we've been praying for that for years. 4 years. And we're sitting at home and now we're trying to walk with the pastor and me is kicking in. So now I want to help this boy. Okay, so what do you do next, you know? And I explained to him, and how beautiful is it when salvation happens, that day when you meet Jesus, it is like you walking on clouds, isn't it? You're walking on clouds, and that first week, like when you pray, something happens. Like you ask, Lord, please speak to me. He speaks to you. I explained that to Logan. I said to him, bud, it's going to be awesome because you're going to speak to God, and he's going to speak back to you. It's like a relationship. And I promise you, I want to read this to you, Lainey. You've got my phone there, but we didn't give him a Bible, so we asked him to download the U version on his Bible. And he opens the U version on the Monday morning. The first verse that he gets is this. Psalm 40, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He returned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and he gave me a firm stance, a place to stand. Like this boy goes, he says, Lainey, look at my verse. Look at the verse. He says, this is not coincidence. I said, no, bud, this is not. This is God. He wants to talk to you. The next morning, he gets this. Romans 10, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So I'm going, oh my word. God is such a good father. He's a God of redemption. He loves us so, so much. We sit at table and we're having a meal. And so I want to help this guy to now start walking in what God's, you know, what God's called him. So I said, Logan, are you going to pray for us? So he goes, no, Axe, I don't know how to pray. I said, but it's just like talking to your dad. You go, Lord, thank you for this meal. Thank you for the hands that prepared it and bless this time. So he prays it. I promise you, the applause erupts in that house because Logan prayed. So how good is the Father? Because he's got a heart of redemption for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. I pray that that will be illuminated in your heart this morning, that he's a God of redemption. So we go on in the story. And this son is standing in front of his father getting back home. And he's still wanting to sort of go through the rhyme that he's been planning on the way there. So, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. And will you please, you know. And he's uttering that out to his father. And his father is not even listening to what he's saying. You know what the father does? It says in verse 22, it says, but the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe, put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Can you imagine this? The son is trying to say, yeah, please, just like forgive. He's going, wait, bring that robe. Bring the ring, bud, quickly. My boy's back. How amazing is that? What does it look like? The father has got a heart of restoration. He's not just got a doesn't just have a heart of redemption, but he's got a heart of restoration. What is the best robe? What does it look like? It says bring the best robe. Why? That was usually the father's robe. It was kept for special occasions. The father's robe. It speaks of total forgiveness. Because that robe covers your sin. The ring. That was usually a signet ring. So that means in the olden days they had the ring. It's got the family emblem on it. And you stick it into wax and you seal some of the documents. It speaks of authority and identity. That's what he puts on his finger. Sandals. As a slave, all the slaves were barefoot. But the son could wear sandals. And then the fattened calf, one of the most valuable assets that they had for all the special occasions and the celebrations. See, the father wants to restore our hearts this morning again. What is restoration all about? It's a process of being made whole again. To return to the original state. To be a son in the house. I want you right there where you're sitting. I want you just to close your eyes. Right there where you're sitting. And I just want to ask the Father this morning to come and put his robe of righteousness over you this morning. Because he's a father of restoration. He's a father of total forgiveness. And I want you to imagine that as he puts this robe over you, over your shoulders, a purple robe. It's got golden sides to it. He says, my boy, my girl, I've covered all your sins. Isaiah 61 says, and I want you to keep your eyes closed right there where you're sitting. Isaiah 61 says, I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. I want you to picture as he puts the ring on your finger. He reinstates your full rights. He gives you authority and position. He gives you the ability to rule in life. You are seated in heavenly places with him. He not only puts that robe on you, he doesn't only put the ring on your finger, but he also gives you sandals. He says, I see you as a son and a daughter this morning again. I've actually given you these sandals for the new road that I've got prepared for you. The new walk. And then lastly, he's prepared a celebration for us with a fattened calf. He rejoices. Heaven rejoices every time one of his sons and daughters turns back to him. Thank you, Lord. I want you just to receive this morning, right there where you're sitting. The Father's heart is a heart of restoration. He wants to restore you into the position and the purpose that He's called you to. I remember a couple of years ago, I was preaching at the church, and I preached on the woman with the bleeding problem. And I remember doing the prep for this work, and I remember the lady having this bleeding problem for 12 years. And I worked out at 4,380 days, Aaron. That's a lot, eh? But that's how long she had this problem. And the story goes that she was so desperate, but she had faith in her heart because she heard about Jesus. She heard about Jesus and he's walking past. Now, if you know the story of having a bleeding problem, that means you're unclean. So whatever you sit on, the chair becomes unclean. Whoever you touch becomes unclean. So now she was sort of an outcast in this community. But she was so desperate that she would actually go and approach the people and go through the crowd. I pictured her having a little thing over her head because she couldn't be seen. Because as soon as somebody recognized her, they would go, "Unclean, get away, unclean." But she was so desperate that she had this cloak on and she walked and pushed through the people. And she said to herself, "If I could only touch the hem of his garment, I know that I'll be healed." And I'll never ever forget it. I'm busy bringing this word that morning, and in the congregation on the right, there was a Zulu lady sitting, and we heard this afterwards. She had a breathing problem that I don't know of, but she heard the word that morning, and faith started growing in her heart. It was so bad that she's seen all the doctors, everybody that can help her physically and, you know, doctor-wise, try to help her, but nothing. But right there where she's sitting, as she heard the word, she felt something in her tummy, lower abdominal. She felt a burning, something happened. And she felt how things started drying up in her. This woman has been battling with that bleeding problem for about 6 years. And ladies, I know what you're thinking. 6 years. It got so bad that, yeah, I don't have to go into that this morning. But it really got bad. And that Tuesday night, she testified at the prayer meeting of how God healed her, and it dried up. So how amazing is God that God is a God of restoration. He wants to restore. If you're sitting here this morning and there's pain in your body, there's sickness in your body, we want to pray for you afterwards. Because we know that the God of the heavens and the earth wants to come and bring healing to your life as well this morning. He's a God of restoration. Guess what? Matt, there's an older son as well. Hey? There's an older son. It says, the oldest son came from the field. He was working in, and he heard there was this music and dancing and all of that going around. And he's going, "Bud, what's going on here?" Called one of the servants and he's going, "What's going on here?" And he said, "No, your brother's back. Your father's killed the fattened calf and they're celebrating." And it says in the scripture, he got so angry. He got so jealous and angry with his younger brother. He actually stayed outside the building because the music's going on and the party's going inside, but he said he didn't go in. His father actually came out and pleaded with him. He said, "My boy, please come." And how this older son, out of his anger, you know, said to his father, "I've been slaving away all these years. I've been obedient to everything you say. And you haven't even given us a goat to celebrate with." But when this brother, he didn't call him brother, when the son of yours, who have squandered all the inheritance with prostitutes, come back, you kill the fattened calf, but for me, you can't do that. But what does that do? It leads us to the last part where the father had the last say. And in verse 31, it says, "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we have to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." The Father's heart this morning for us is a heart of reconciliation. Not just redemption, not just restoration, but it's a Father's heart, a heart of reconciliation. He wants to reconcile not just his relationship with his younger son, but also wants to see that the relationship between the younger son and the older son gets restored. That's a Father's heart. I mean, can you put yourselves in the older boy's shoes? I always say, you know, walk in somebody else's shoes a mile. Walk a mile in somebody else's shoes, and where do you end up? A mile away with somebody else's shoes. Okay. Yes, it's a tough crowd this morning, eh? But I promise you, I will be angry. I promise you, I'll go snort corp. I've been flipping, I've been slaving away, and now you go and do that, and you come back, and now you want to call the shots here. But what does it do? It reveals and exposes the older son's sin. What are those things? Judgmental. This older son became so judgmental. Lack of compassion and mercy. Moral superiority. Aina. I'm the deserving son. I should get this. Not this little snort corp. Resentfulness and bitterness. I've been working so hard. You've done nothing. You weren't even here. But what does it lead to? Dead works, isn't it? Jealousy. Why him? How many times do we do that? Why him? I don't know what it looks like in your life. Being judgmental. A lack of compassion. You only see the wrong. You know, this oak has irritated me so much that I don't even see the things that he do right. I only see the wrong things. Resentfulness and bitterness. Lord, I don't understand this. I've been reading and praying and walking in your ways, but things are not happening for me. Have you ever found yourself in that place? See, God wants to reconcile with you this morning. Jealousy. Aina. One of the things that you can definitely see in other people's lives, but you can't see it in your own life. Eh? That actually led to the first murder. Jealousy is an ugly one. 2 Corinthians 5 says, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against him. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. A couple of years ago, I don't know who knows Mike Hanchett. Can I see some hands maybe? Yeah. So Mike Hanchett passed away 2 years ago. He's one of the prophets in church with us, and we had such a good relationship. He's like another dad to me. And I remember he got really sick. He was lying in hospital, and the whole church would go in and go and pray for Mike. And I remember Mike got to a certain stage. He's quite straight. The prophetic guys are quite straight, you know. And he always said to me, Herc, keep it short. You know, when I want to pray, he goes, Herc, keep it short. Because I think there's a guy that come in and pray so long, you know, and he just wants to get them out of the room. But I remember that day, I was standing in the room, prayed for Mike, and his wife Joan was there. And she said to me, Herc, by the way, 2 beds away, there's another man. His name is Tony. His wife is in our church. He's not in our church. And why don't you just pop in there? I go, any day, I'll go and pop in and go and pray for him. So as I walk into the room, 2 beds away in the ICU of Pine Haven Hospital, this old man is lying in this bed, but he's growling. He's like, He's angry. He doesn't speak. He just growls. So I go, hi, Uncle Tony. My name is Erky. I'm here to pray for you. And he goes, like that. I said, okay, no worries, but I'll still pray for you. So I start laying my hands on him and I pray for him. And I walk out. Because, you know, that's what I do. It's not a big thing. I pray for people. And get back to church and I walk that Sunday and I walk into his wife and she, I meet Aleta, that's her name. And she goes, Erky, thank you so much for praying for my husband. I really appreciate it. He doesn't know the Lord and he says he'll never come to church. But she says, I'm trusting for his life that he'll meet Jesus because he's not doing well in hospital. I said, Aleta, there's no problem. I love people. I want to pray for them. A couple of days later, she phones me and she says, well, he's out of hospital and he's doing better. And then I'm going, praise the Lord. I know that there's still a plan for him. And then two weeks later again, she phones and she says, Alex, can you please go and pray for him again? I think he's on his last legs. He's back in ICU. And can you please go and pray for him? I said, Aleta, I'll definitely do that. So I get to ICU. I walk into the place and I'm trying to find him, but I can't find him at all because I couldn't recognize him anymore. That's how downhill he went. So I'm looking for a Tony and I can't find a Tony. And funny enough, it's the first bed. And I look at this man and I'm going, oh my word. He's like on his bed and he doesn't move. He just looks at the floor like that. And I speak to the nurse and I said to her, what's wrong with this man? She says, no, he hasn't responded in the last 5 days. That's just what's happening here. And I just felt God's spirit come on me and I said, well, I want to pray for this. Can I pray for this? And I remember the nurse standing at his bed and she goes, she actually closed his face and she went like this, Mr. Snow, can you hear me? Mr. Snow. But his eyes just kept looking at the floor. He didn't move. And again, she went, Mr. Snow, can you hear me? And I just felt God said, now you go. So as I walked in, I said, sister, lap aside. Stand to and do. And I said to him, Uncle Tony, I look him in the eyes, still looking at the floor. I said, I'm here to pray for you. And literally went from there to here. And he looked me in the eyes. And she's going, he's responding. I said, yes, he's responding. Because Jesus wants to talk to him. And what I did is I said to him, so I always go for the jugular. Immediately, Matt, I go, Uncle Tony, it's not looking good for you. Eh? He doesn't say a thing. He just kept his eyes on me. I said, do you know Jesus? And he couldn't really move his head, but he went like this. He shook his head. I said, do you want to meet him? I said, can you blink your eyes if you want to say yes? He goes, he wants to meet Jesus. So I prayed for him right there in his bed. And it was the most amazing thing ever. And during the prayer, like I made sure this oak said yes. You know, so he blinked quite a bit. But how amazing is it that God wants to reconcile us back to him through what Jesus has done. So I remember going to the funeral. It was so funny. I phoned his wife. Actually, right after I prayed for him, I phoned his wife and I said, Aleta, your husband has given his life to Jesus. And, I mean, she exploded on the phone. 2 days later, Tony passed away. And I remember going to the funeral and I get there because she just asked me to come and just tell the story of what happened in the hospital, you know. And I get there. 3 minutes before 10, like 5 minutes before 10, because the funeral starts at 10. And I walk up to some of the guys that's got a suit on. And I thought, this is a guy that's preaching. So I go, hey, bud, are you preaching? Are you bringing the word today? So I just know where to fit in, you know, with my story that I'm telling about Uncle Tony. He goes, no, bud, I'm the MC. So I go to the next guy, bud, are you bringing the word? He goes, I don't know who's bringing the word. And I realized, I'm bringing the word. I'm doing this funeral. And I'm going, oh my word. And I just said, Lord, what an opportunity for us to bring the word this morning. And I told the story of Uncle Tony, how he met Jesus on his deathbed. And I sat there and I told the story and I said, are there anybody here this morning that wants to give their life to Jesus? And I remember two young girls, 7 and 8 years old. They go, whoo! And the mom look at them and she goes, me too. You know, but how amazing is God that he's a father that's got a heart of reconciliation. He wants to pull us into him, into his heart. He wants to pull us closer. So through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, the Father provided a way for humanity not to be only redeemed, not only to be restored, but to become reconciled to the Father, to have free access to the Father and his promises and his purposes. So I want to ask this morning, right there where you're sitting. You've heard this word. And God has been working in your heart already. He knew that before you were even born. But you, one of the prodigals, you one of the ones that's been running. I call them the runners. You've been running all your life. But you've never got to the place where you said, Lord, I want to give you everything. So right there where you're sitting, I want to ask you just to close your eyes, right there where you're sitting. You feel lost this morning. You feel like you've been running from pillar to post. And the Father's saying, I just showed you a glimpse of my heart this morning. I want to pull you in again this morning. You might feel unworthy. How can God ever, ever look at me? I want to give you an opportunity this morning, if that is you, just slip up your hand. If that is you, if you've never got to the place where you say, Father, I want to give you everything. This is your opportunity. Thank you, Lord. If you're sitting here this morning and you've been battered and bruised by the ways of life, you're sticking, man. You're finished. You want to give up. The Father wants to restore you this morning. That's you. And you are finished with the battle that you're fighting in. Will you raise your hand as well, right there where you're sitting? Awesome. God wants to come and bring restoration this morning. So right there where you're sitting, you know who you are. Will you just open your hands? I want to pray for you right there where you're sitting. Father, thank you. You see these hands. And you're such a good Father. Lord, you want to come and bring refreshment. You want to come and bring restoration, Lord. You want to pull them in. Because this Father is a Father that loves. He's got compassion for us, Lord. So, Lord, will you come by your Spirit and fill, refresh, bring life and light into those situations. I'm reminded about Mary and Martha. Martha is running around in the kitchen because she wants to serve Jesus. And Mary is just sitting at Jesus' feet. And Martha is at the place where she goes, Jesus, can you just tell Mary to do something, please? Because I'm running around here. And he says, Martha, Martha. She's not missing it. You're thinking about the many things. Even some of the few things. But Mary's decided the one thing is important. Will you just sit at my feet? So I want to say to those who've been battered by the waves of life and the situation that you're going through, God wants you just to sit at his feet this morning. He wants you just to receive from Him this morning again. He wants you to see yourself the way that He sees you again. He loves you with a passionate love. Thank you, Lord. Last ones I want to give an opportunity to is those who still got unforgiveness in their hearts. It's an ugly one. Why? Because you're going, but actually you don't know what they did to me. Guess what? He knows. He knows. And I always say unforgiveness is like a fire burning in your heart. And you can't explain that to people because it feels like it's going to consume you. But we know the saying, it's like drinking poison, hoping the other one's going to die. Forgiveness is actually not for the other person, but it's for you. To help you being set free. To get the load off your shoulders. And guess what? If you cannot forgive, it actually comes to the place of it is actually prideful. It's hard to hear that, but it's actually pride that's standing in the way. Because what you're actually saying is because I cannot forgive, I don't want to forgive, but Jesus forgave you. Can you see it this morning? So how does forgiveness work? It's actually making a choice. It's not, Jesus, will you please help me to forgive this person? Will you please, He's already helped you. This morning, Lord, I choose to forgive so and so. So right there where you're sitting, I'm going to give you an opportunity to actually do that. God has already shown you the person, the situation. Name it. And the following words need to come out of your mouth. Lord, I choose today to forgive. I choose, Lord, to set them free. Because, Lord, You've forgiven me. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord, that Your Spirit is here this morning. Thank You, Lord, that You are a Father that's got a massive heart for us as His children. Thank You, Lord, that Your heart is a heart of redemption. Your heart is a heart of restoration, Lord, and reconciliation. We worship You this morning, Lord. We honor You, Lord. Amen. Amen. I want to ask that we use this opportunity to do communion this morning. And it's a beautiful opportunity to actually, as a family, get around each other. I don't know how you guys do it here, but I trust that you will grab the bread and the wine, and we're going to pray together, but that you get around somebody, some loved ones. Our chick is already hugging her. That you get around loved ones, and you do it together. Look them in the eyes and explain to them, this is what Jesus does for us. This is what He's done. Because we do it as a family so often, and it's one of the most powerful things to do. I remember in COVID, when everybody remember COVID as a stuff. So you were in that house locked up, and I promise you, our house became really small.
Yeah.
You wanted to kill each other. And I remember everybody screaming at each other, and we realized we've got to get to a place where we actually break bread. And I promise you, it was this heaviness on us, and as we started breaking bread and doing that with the kids, there was something that just lifted off us that morning. And we realized, oh my word. So the communion is such a powerful moment for us. And I'm going to ask that if we can hand out the communion elements. I think they're already busy, eh? Oh, you guys, I heard that you got to go and collect, please, for yourself. Yeah. So this is an amazing time where you can do it with your family. So get around somebody and I'll pray for us as we get our communion elements, please. So guys, get around each other. This is where you mingle and you pray for each other. But I'm going to pray for us as just before we use it. Father, thank you for this amazing opportunity to remember, Lord, what you've done for us. Thank you, Jesus, that we can drink the wine and, Lord, use the bread, the blood that was shed for us and your body that was broken for us. I pray, Lord, as we do this exchange, Lord, as we give the pressure over to you, thank you that you give us peace. Thank you, Lord, that we can give sickness and ask for your healing. We worship you, Lord. So right there where you are as a family, you can use the communion elements now and pray together. What a privilege. Fathers, get around your family. Thank you, Lord.